Our second reading today comes from the Gospel according to Matthew. We'll read chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. These are commonly known as the Beatitudes. And along with Micah 6, may we find something, some morsel, a feast even, in God's word this day for our souls. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely for my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. These words from Matthew chapter 5 along with Micah chapter 6 are for us this day by the Holy Spirit, the word of God, for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now, friends, may we be led into the word by nothing less than the Holy Spirit, that we could be led out from it, hearing something today that will help us be the disciples that Christ is calling us to be. Amen. So, I want to share with you that nature shows are absolutely my favorite form of entertainment. I'm especially fond of those that are narrated by Sir David Attenborough. I mean, for most of the last 25 years of my life, David Attenborough has taken me across the seven continents and around the world and over the great seas. He's shown me incredible things. Things that are real, but they defy the imagination. They're so impossible to believe, some of them, that you have to pause a moment and say, no, wait, this is real. I mean, it's really remarkable what they do and what they show. One of my favorite films he ever showed me was of an octopus off the coast of California. This octopus is being hunted by sharks quite aggressively, and it's exposed on the open sea floor. This octopus is in grave, grave danger. And then the octopus does one of those unimaginable things. He uses the suction cups on all eight of his arms to start picking up seashells, and then he wraps the shells all around his body so they look like a ball of shells or like a rock that's sitting there on the bottom of the sea floor. And these dozens of sharks, which have been chasing him, suddenly swim harmlessly by. I mean, it's really incredible. And that's one memory of hundreds I have from David Attenborough, and each one of them reminds me that the world is more beautiful and amazing than we can imagine. It's as though the mind of God spilled its ink across the surface of our planet, making a world so beautiful that a sunrise can make you cry if you catch the right one. Or it's as Barbara Brown Taylor has written in her book, An Altar in the World. She writes, quote, the earth is so thick of divine possibility that it's a wonder we can walk anywhere without cracking our shins on God's altars, end of quote. So, my sermon title today is For the Beauty of the World. And sermon titles are tricky, prickly things. I actually have a favorite sermon title story. I've repeated it to young pastors many times. It was told by a now retired preacher who in his first church was running late with his bulletin to his quite impatient church secretary. She was ready to go with it, to begin putting it together, to put the sermon title on the church sign. So he gave her what he had, and he scribbled on his notes that he gave her as his sermon title, something about Matthew. He left them with her and he went home, only to show up the next morning to be quite embarrassed, believing that he was going to be in great trouble with the board at the church when the church sign said in big letters on that light-up church sign, like in a small town, this week's sermon, something about Matthew. Like I said, sermon titles are tricky. This sermon is called For the Beauty of the World. And I'm not talking about the world that David Attenborough narrates, the one I started with. That's the natural world, and like I said, it's beautiful. But I want to talk today about the world of humankind, the world of people. For the beauty of the world of people, with all of our cultures and languages and traditions, I mean, we surely are a diverse bunch on this planet, and why it's clear from reading the Word of God and the words of Jesus that we are all collectively supposed to be caring for one another, that is clear. I watched a sermon this week on YouTube by a seminary professor. The professor said the Bible never really talks about rights. Instead, it talks about responsibilities. Now, in the Bible, we the people are made responsible for the care of creation and the earth. In the Bible, we the people are made to be responsible for one another. When Jesus talks about loving those around us like we love ourselves, he is building on the tradition of the law and the prophets, and he is not paying his great commandment to love one another as I have loved you. He's not paying that any lip service at all. Now today, you have heard and we have heard two of the great biblical texts. They are two of the most wonderful moments of the entire Bible. They are legitimately beautiful on their own. If there were like a Mount Everest of Bible texts, these two, Micah 6 and Matthew 5, would be on them. And while all scripture is valuable, and I do mean that every word of scripture has value, it does. It has something to teach and show us. While all scripture is valuable, not all scripture is equal, especially as to its impact for the shaping of human hearts and human lives. I mean, there's a reason when you go to the religious section at the Hallmark store, you don't see quotes from Leviticus or Ezekiel or Jude or Philemon on the cards that you see. But you will, if you go often enough, find Micah 6 and Matthew 5 in card stores. And there's good reason. There's good reason why these two texts have been needle-pointed on samplers. They've been painted in beautiful calligraphy and in great works of art. You can find them framed in the walls of people's homes and written on great monuments erected around the world. So, two moments of biblical inspiration, and through them each, the divine possibility shines as bright as it does as any place in the Bible. They have inspired these two texts, God's children, for thousands of years. And if people took them to heart, if we really took them to heart, the great big royal we across the seven continents, the beauty of the human world would be unmatched. We would be living our finest lives, and history would smile upon us. See, Micah 6 has been celebrated in story and song, in oratorios and hymns. It begins with the prophet telling the people that God is not pleased. God has delivered the people from hardship and foes, freed them from enslavement in Egypt, and saved them from invaders. But the people have been neither thankful nor faithful. The prophet is asking them the essential question. And the people are asking the essential question, how do you show thanks to God for all the Lord has given us? So the people respond at first to God with increasing levels of material bargaining. Well, shall I bring the Lord my offerings? Hey, maybe we could sacrifice something of great value to tell God how thankful we are, like a calf. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with lots and lots of sheep, if we slaughter them? Or how about 10,000 rivers of precious oil? I mean, listen to that number, 10,000 rivers of precious oil. Will that make God happy? Each one increasing with this sort of quasi-hyperbole until the final question, and it's a devastating question. How about this? Will God be happy if we give up our children? The fruit of my body, the prophet says, for the sin of my soul. It's a devastating question. No, Micah says, no, no, no. That's not the kind of God we worship. God wants none of those things. God has told you how to be thankful and what is good. Just be just. Be kind. And live with humility. The exact quote of Micah 6:8 is a rhetorical question, and it's worthy of repeating. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God? Now, my Old Testament professor, Sib Towner, called this the golden text of the Old Testament, the code to what an ethical and moral life should look like. I mean, can you imagine how beautiful the human world would be if everyone pursued justice, if everyone pursued kindness, and if everyone lived with humility. According to Micah in the Bible, this is how God wants us to live, justly, kindly, and humbly. That's how we thank God for everything. The human world could be beautiful beyond all imagination if we, its people, and our leaders, and our institutions, and our families, and our communities would make all of our decisions based upon Micah's trifold criteria. Is it just? Is it kind? Is it humble? I, for one, I can barely imagine the wonder of that kind of world. That leads us to Matthew 5, these Beatitudes. The love and faithfulness expressed in them is also beautiful. And like Micah, the Beatitudes are a veritable blueprint for beautiful lives. These three chapters, the next three of Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7, are Jesus' longest sermon in the entire Bible. And it begins like this, the first verse. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain. And like we said last week in our sermon, whenever Jesus goes by the lakeshore or a river or to a mountain, that's a great time to start paying extra attention. What does it say about Jesus that he begins his greatest and longest sermon with these Beatitudes, a series of blessings, each one compounding and building on the next? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn and grieve. Blessed are the meek or the humble. Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness. Blessed are those who show mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. I mean, this is the way Jesus begins his sermon. And it suggests to us that he is blessing us across the many horizons of human lives and emotions. It suggests to us that these blessings are given to us, and then we are being given these blessings so that we can share them, so that we can share them with others. Jesus starts this way as a reminder that his primary vocation is to bless human beings in every imaginable way. And he truly is so loving and wonderful. He is. That takes me back to the sermon title, The Beauty of the World. A world in which we bless one another with unfailing devotion would be a beautiful world indeed. Just imagine how the human race could be transformed if we pursued blessing more than we pursue power. Just imagine how transformed our communities and families would be if we replaced blame and shame with words and acts of beauty and blessing. I mean, such a vision would be blessed indeed. And in Matthew 5, it is Jesus who is telling us that this is the way that life ought to be. So how important are these Beatitudes? Well, they were essential to Jesus, which means they ought to be essential to us. In studying this week for the sermon, I found a poster that you can order online. It can even come framed if you want. You can hang it on your wall. It said simply this: salt that's not salty is pointless. So is a Christian life without the Beatitudes. Now, I know it's just a poster, and that's not the most academic or intellectual of citations. I get it. But that poster makes the point with precision and economy. There is no authentic Christian life without receiving the blessings of God and sharing those blessings with others. We might even go so far to say that the authentic Christian life is primarily defined by the blessings of God and the blessings of others through our just actions, our kind intentions, and our humility. And that right there, that sentence, that's where Micah's golden text and Jesus' Sermon on the Mount meet one another, and they cross-pollinate, showing us the visions of beautiful things. So, for the beauty of the world, yeah, indeed. I need to tell you, I almost titled this sermon Golden Texts of the Old and New Testament. And I also played around with Jesus and Micah meet on the mountain. I even pondered eavesdropping on Jesus and Micah. Like I said, sermon titles are tricky. But I settled on beauty, for the beauty of the world. For one, because the words we heard today are just incredibly beautiful. And two, I settled on beauty because there is just so much ugly on the earth right now. And I think the beauty that can be discovered across the entire human family is the very thing that our souls are lamenting and longing for the most. So may it be so. May we seek justice, may we love kindness, and may we live humbly. And may we receive the blessings of God and share those blessings with others in all that we think, say, and do. Friends, let's take the beauty we have received and share it abundantly. Amen. So John and Ashley, Emily, Callie, Lana, Eric, Amelia, Aaron, thank you. Can we say thank you to them? Just thank you for being with us this morning. They're going to be here all morning, so thank you so much. A church at its core, is a combination of many things. Of course, it's all the stories and the narratives that we bring to one another in our small groups, our prayer groups, our Bible studies, when we're in a group like the On Point Band, when we sing in the choir. It's also the things that Kate talked about. It's the fears and the griefs that we bring in from the previous week and the words that we say that remind us that there is a center and there is a core, and that core is God's grace and God's love that truly is above and beyond all things, within all things, and can live through us as we seek to minister in all things. So friends, go out into the world in peace. Use your gifts this week. Maybe you don't have the musical gifts of the band or of Carl or Kirsten, but you have gifts, something to share, that you may express a just word, that you may give someone the gift of kindness, or that you may truly show someone the humble acts of service made in the name of God's love. Go out into the world, friends, to share that beauty all around. In the name of God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, be blessed until we meet again. Amen.